And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You're listening to Single Podcast Theory, and I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek.
What's going on, bud?
Hey, man.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Yeah. Or should I say, Hoppy Easter.
You son of a bitch. Didn't see that one coming. Should've. Should never be surprised by the Blazek pun.
Yeah. Did you know what the one mushroom said to the other mushroom?
You're a fun guy. Oh. Should have another obvious tee up there that I fell right into.
That is,
I'm the one that'll have to deal with that for the rest of my life, Brad.
I mean, I don't know how old I was. Like 10? Maybe 15 when I heard that joke, and I just, that's
10,
like, that's
maybe 15.
That's where I'm at with humor. That's my like bread and butter of humor is that joke.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. I got to take a couple steps back of the, no, we can't do this. We can't go on forever. 10 to 15 years old. What a weird, I mean, I was like 20 or 30 when it happened.
I'm just saying, what? I was a young Brad.
Young
Blazek.
Man. I got you.
Yeah.
So you guys do any Easter celebrations?
I celebrated by going to work, which sucks.
Yep.
Because as we've talked before, they changed my schedule. So that was fun. But because it's Easter, we only had one delivery, and they let me go as soon as we got that done. So then I came home and took a nap and woke up to, what do you call it? Like a life-threatening migraine.
Oof.
It felt like I was going to throw up. Oof. And die.
Sorry, and man.
So, yeah. But I took some pain meds, I guess. I don't know if it's not really pain meds. Just ibuprofen. That's not really
the good stuff, huh?
Yeah, they could took some good
some pain meds.
I took two of them, and they're 800s. I think that's a lot.
Oh, you got the prescription strength.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Popped a couple pills. My wife, my beautiful, wonderful.
Well, the reason why you're not totally jacked up right now is I think what you took is just strictly like a anti-inflammatory kind of thing. It's not a
Well, she made me a grilled cheese, and I took two 800s, and now I just barely feel, you know,
kind of back alive to normal.
Well,
you know what I mean.
I don't feel like I'm going to throw up and die.
Okay, good.
I'm still not. I'm still not 100%.
Happy Easter, everybody.
God, is take two better?
Yeah, we had to start this section over. Brad went a little blue.
So, yeah, how was your Easter?
Oh, thanks for asking, Brad. It was, I mean, we don't really quote unquote celebrate Easter other than for some reason this year. I don't know if it's because my parents have had to be out of town a lot or what's going on, but I mean, we set some stuff out for him, which normally would just be like some candy that I'm just gonna eat anyway, and right. You know, maybe a couple books or whatever, but it looked like fucking Christmas morning.
Really?
This morning I was like, what is he even said something. He was like,
yeah,
what is this for real? Like, because like the grandparents and everyone just decided to get him like gifts this year for, and none of it was like expensive stuff. It was just a lot of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
But it was all really cool stuff. It was like these kind of how to, Marvel comic, kind of drawing lessons or whatever. And then, he has his own, he writes his own series of comics. He's got like two or three different series that he writes, and he's always like drawing the panels and stuff like that. So like my parents got him a big book of already like where the panels are already in there for you to use. And so he can just draw and write dialogue and all that kind of stuff.
That's cool. I didn't even know those existed, but I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So it's, he's super stoked. So,
yeah.
You know, it, I guess those are all good things too, like
yeah,
artistic based things and things that kind of get his brain going. It's not like he got a bunch of video games or something for
Easter. Did you guys go see Endgame, or is that not out yet?
It's not out yet. We are going to see that this, me and Aiden and Brandon are going to the 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Is he like freaking out about it, or is it just kind of like, it's not that big a deal?
No, I mean, he doesn't freak out. He's a really cool kid in that way. Like, he, you know that he's into it. He loves it, but he doesn't like freak out.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. He's like,
does he freak out about, what's his thing? Like, mine's Pearl Jam, Amanda's Taylor Swift. What's Aiden's like thing?
Right now, it's comic books, 100%. Not just writing them, but like, he got his first pull list at a comic store here in town, which is super cool for me because I think I was about 10 when I got my first pull list. So that just gives us another thing that we can kind of jam on together. But he said his next thing, and he wants me to help him with it, is that he wants to get into vinyl. So I was like, oh, cool. You have come to the right parent, my friend.
I was thinking about doing that for Amanda. Just start buying her vinyl records. Yeah. Because I feel like I'm too old to start collecting. You know what I mean? Because there's so many albums that I'd want to have that it would try. It would,
that's the fun of it, though. It's,
I know.
If you can just be cool about it. Like, I love vinyl. I don't have a crazy collection. I don't. Yeah. And it's because I'm just willing to, for the most part, like, take my, I don't get to go very often. I don't have tons of money to spend on vinyl, but every couple months I'll just go and I'll walk out with, you know, three or four things, and it's kind of what I feel like getting.
I just know myself. I'm such a like completist.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It would bother me not to have everything the first day.
No,
that would drive me crazy. But
I've fought.
For Amanda, hell, she's 19. I could just start buying them for her, and she can just pick them up whenever she's ready to. You know, and at that moment, she'll have a decent start on it.
Well, it's a good thing. I think. I mean, Aiden's 10, and I'm 41, and we both suffer from the same problem, which is one of the things I hope maybe he learns from getting into vinyl is that, because we listen to music together, but it's just so easy to skip around digitally that you know, especially for a kid, it's like, he's like, oh, let me play you this. And he gets through the first chorus and he's like, skips to this one. I'm like, well, I want to hear the song, dude.
Yeah, that shit makes me insane.
Yeah. And with vinyl, it's, that's one of the things I love about it and why I've kind of stuck with it and definitely returned to it over the last, like, I'd say 10 years, is that it makes me sit and stop, and I can't skip songs, and I can't, I mean, I can, but who wants to get up, open it up, try and get it on the right groove? You know what I mean? It's just like, no, you just let it play, you know?
Yeah.
And it makes you pay attention to the things. And I think that's not only a great way to listen or consume art, but it's just good for you, your brain, to kind of know how to do that. Just kind of like stop and be able to take something in, you know? Anyway, so I'm glad he's wanting to get into it. Tangent City. All right. So obviously we're getting into Self-Pollution Radio Part 3 this week, which we're super excited about. We have some good stuff to talk about. Some Tom Waits, some Iggy Pop, some Soundgarden, some what else? We got the Frogs in there. Wesley Willis. We got all kinds of stuff in this third. Part of the
Chris Novoselic makes SPR. An appearance.
That's right. I loved that part. I love going back through this because there's so many parts of it that I'd forgotten about because I hadn't.
Yeah.
I think I've said before, I haven't listened to this until we decided to do it. And I mean, I have no idea how long it's been. So it's kind of cool to rediscover everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Before we get into emails, if you would like to email us, you can email us at singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. You can get a hold of us on the socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff. And if you'd like to support the show, go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. And you can look through all the information there. I think that's all the housekeeping stuff. Am I correct?
I think you're correct.
Let's get into some emails.
Anthony McPhillips writes in and says, guys, just saying hello from a distant time and a distant place. I'm back here at episode 16 trying to play catch up.
Woo.
It's like having two new friends. I feel pretty lucky that you're filling the silence as I drive around on my way to work. I can't face trying to put pen to paper and write a top 10. That'd be like telling my other friends that I no longer cared. Yeah, dude. I mean, we've talked about it back
Shit's
then.
Shit's hard, man.
It was, yeah, it was difficult. Felt inspired today to tell you why. We've grown up with these songs. Every one of them is attached to a time and place. My memories run like a film reel with Pearl Jam as a soundtrack. They're friends that have been there for me always, helped me through times, picked me up or made me stop and think, helped me decide whether to stay or go. I'm here at the age of 44, living the dream and loving my life and family. I owe so much to these songs. So here's what really prompted me to write. Waxing on about the ones that didn't make it, you mentioned Unthought Known. Gotta hear that right now, I thought. It hit me in the chest like something physical. Waves on distant shores awaiting your arrival. Accompanied by the current worry of our son losing his way, the line just filled me with hope for his future. Cue the lump in my throat and stream of tears. Where the fuck did that come from? I had to pull over and calm down. These songs have touched us all. Glad you guys are out there pulling us loose threads together. Anthony.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah. That's a good email.
I like that one. Yeah. I like that he says he's writing from a distant time and place way back in episode 16.
I know. I don't even remember what we would have been talking about.
I don't know. I meant to look it up. I have a feeling that might be, well, I don't know. Top 10 was probably earlier than that.
Yeah, that's pretty early, I think. But man, it's cool to hear about, I don't know, we were just kind of talking about it in a way, but just the whole stopping and calming the fuck down and letting yourself feel something instead of just always distracting with something else. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what music's supposed to be there, or one of the reasons it's supposed to be there for you. But
yeah. And just the whole idea of like growing up with these songs, like
yeah,
I forget that I'm fucking 43. Right. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Cause I, you know, I feel like I'm 17 or 18, but then I was thinking of the albums the other day and like, it's so funny how I could start at 1991 and be like 10, and I could go through every year, and when I hit a year that an album came out, I'll instantly think of that album. Does that make sense?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And it is a cool concept.
I've actually tried
these songs are our memories.
Yeah, go for ahead. Sure. No, I've thought about almost like if you making a timeline kind of thing of my life and just like making those little marks like when I found certain records and bands and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I forget, like when you're young, or for me anyway, in high school, and I've said this before, but it's relevant. It's like I was such a sponge. Once I found something that I think I always knew I liked music, but it took something really like kind of like moving me in a certain kind of way, which as I've said before with Zeppelin, to kind of like open the floodgates. And then it was like, sometimes I have a hard time remembering who I found or started listening to before other things. So, like, I mean, obviously, I knew I really listened to Pearl Jam before I really listened to Neil Young, for example. But once I got to all the other stuff, especially the 60s and 70s stuff, it's like, man, I can't remember if I was into Neil Young before I got into Dylan, or did I get into Dylan before that? And it was just so much music that, you know what I mean? That everything, like Metallica records do that for me. Pearl Jam records do that for me. Sade does that for me. Fucking The Chronic makes me think of us. You know what I mean? It's like all over the place.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. It's weird how your brain works that way. Thanks, Anthony. Did you die?
I'm here. Okay. Thank you, Anthony.
You just got really quiet. Like, real quiet. Like I was really just trying to check on you because I thought maybe...
I did not die.
Okay, good. Good.
Thankfully.
All right. Thanks again, Anthony.
You got me thinking about, like, music and memories. And, like, I made a playlist of Sunday vibes. And it's, like, all this music from when I was a kid. But, like... I guess it would be considered like adult contemporary, like whatever adult, probably what my mom was listening to like in the early 80s. So there's like Dan Fogelberg and like Barry Manilow and Kenny Rogers and like,
oh yeah, I grew up as a fucking Kenny,
but there's, you know, there's some like Tears for Fears. I mean, it's just like, I don't know, top 40 adult contemporary 1983. 80s.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know, 500 songs. And I just put it on shuffle on Sundays. Al Jarreau.
Jesus.
I mean, yeah.
Man, you're hitting it hard. I like it.
Air Supply. Did you ever listen to Air Supply?
Come on, man. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you've gone a little too far.
I asked my buddy Don about Air Supply. I was like, dude, I know this is cheesy, but remember how great this song is? And he's like, the only thing I know about Air Supply is Will Ferrell, and I can't remember the other dude, making fun of them on SNL. And he sent me a link of the video. It's so fucking hilarious.
That's awesome.
It's so funny. Anyway, all right, what do we got next?
Aaron.
I'm in a weird headspace, dude.
You good? We got Aaron Smith. And this is regarding Gaslight Anthem. He says, happy Saturday, Brads. I've been listening to your podcast for about a year and a half. I loved it, and I've not written in before, but your covers episode made me want to share a story. Specifically, you talked about Gaslight Anthem covering State in Pensacola in 2012. I was at that 2012 show with a couple of buddies. We're from Indiana and headed out after work one evening, originally headed for Atlanta. There was a festival in Atlanta that weekend where the Foo Fighters were playing one night, Pearl Jam the next, and we were going to catch both shows. We got a call right before Nashville that someone had a couple of unused VIP passes for the Pearl Jam Pensacola show and maybe backstage passes. Those didn't pan out. And they were ours if we headed for Pensacola. We debated as we rounded Nashville and came to a point where we either stayed on 65 to head towards Pensacola or took the exit for Atlanta. We crossed our fingers and headed towards Florida. We got to the festival pretty early that day and collected our VIP passes. We immediately headed up front and staked out a place right in front of the stage. When Gaslight came on, there were maybe a few handfuls of people in that roped-off area, and we were about three people back from the stage when all of a sudden Eddie fucking Vedder comes out. He sings with them on State, and it was absolutely amazing. We stayed in that area most of the rest of the day. Right before Pearl Jam came on, Tin Club made us leave the roped-off area for the people that actually bought tickets there. But we were able to squeeze back in. It was one hell of a day. Pearl Jam on the beach in the VIP section. Given that we didn't plan on going to Pensacola, we left the festival at show's end with no place to stay. Having no luck at surrounding hotels, we ended up crashing on the beach for a few hours before getting up and heading to Atlanta the next day to see Pearl Jam again. It was a great road trip. One that I'll always remember. Take care, guys. Aaron. That's awesome, man. It's like this is so cool. Email section. This segment today is just like trips down memory lane, kind of
right? Yeah, yeah. It's funny. I love that they just said fuck it and crashed on the beach.
That's what you gotta do, man.
Like, I couldn't imagine. Like, for me, I would hate that. Like, if you were like, dude, we're gonna go to a concert and then we're just gonna hang out on the beach, I'd be like, fuck that. I need a bed. I need my breathing machine. I need a fan. You know what I mean?
See, but I think every once in a while things is like that. Yeah, like, I agree. You wouldn't plan the trip that way, but right, if it happened. But
I'm saying, in the moment,
yeah,
if we were like, we can't find anywhere, let's just go chill on the beach, I'd be like, all right, like, this is pretty
actually
cool.
Sounds really nice.
Yeah. Yes. And I wanted to mention Sue D'Amato.
Yeah.
Is one of our listeners. She was also at that festival, too. She had wrote in saying that she was there, and it was pretty cool.
What's up, Sue?
I couldn't imagine being at a show and Eddie comes out as a surprise. I would flip my fucking shit.
It'd be pretty fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that, Aaron. What you got next?
What do we got?
Paul
Allen, the CEO of Microsoft. Is that who that is?
Yep, that's him.
that's not him. No. This is the British. Is it British? I hope he's British. been a busy old time recently, so I haven't had a chance to email, but like the listener said last week, I'm still here, still listening. We had a couple people write in and say that. Awesome. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the two self-pollution episodes. Well, get ready. It made me realize how different it was being a fan in the US than in the UK. I was right.
Yeah. Good job, bud.
British.
Proud of you.
I try. In the pre-internet age, when the only way to get info on your favorite music was via the music press, things like self-pollution radio reached almost mythical status. Maybe a snippet in Kerrang! Magazine? Did they mention it in a fan club newsletter? If they did, it only served to create more mystery and intrigue, as there was no way I was ever going to hear it. When I think of the peak of my love for this band, this is what I think of. Five guys and their friends, somewhere in Seattle, playing music, drinking, and talking. That stuff is like catnip to a young teenage mind. I probably got to hear the whole thing in its entirety sometime in the early 2000s, and it didn't disappoint. It was everything I had imagined it would be. Political, dark, funny, and Vitalogy. Those songs sound so good. Makes me realize also that the ubiquitous nature of the internet means no one has to work for these things anymore. Everything is available to everyone. We lose that mystique that you can just lose yourself in. Ho-hum. Tremor Christ is just simply a fantastic song. Beautiful in its simplicity, it has a dark drive to it that just envelopes you. Fuck. Vitalogy is amazing. It's top three for me for sure. Prince, well, what to say? I'm not a huge fan of his, but the high points are so high. He was such a talent. The video below was shown when he died, so you might have seen it already, but it's worth rewatching. Classic song and one of the best guitar solos ever. And I think, what is this, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame video?
I think so.
Yeah. While My Guitar Gently Sleeps. Have you seen that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's insane.
He's sick, man.
Hope Spring is treating you well. Hope Spring is treating you well, guys.
Thanks, Paul.
Paul, yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
It's interesting, dude. Like, I never even thought about the fact that this self-pollution radio was only available in the U.S.
Right. Yeah, man. And they were definitely an international band at that point, so.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
It's, you know, it's interesting, too, though, because, like, now, with shit like Instagram Live and Facebook Live and Periscope, you would think bands would do more stuff like this.
I know. It's true. They will. I mean, yeah, some of them, you know, got on the train pretty quickly, I think. And I mean, like, John Mayer does tons of stuff on his Instagram TV and live. And it's, like, really cool stuff for the most part. Like, like, you get to see his rig, or he'll just record. I remember a few weeks back, he put a video up of him coming up with a guitar solo for one of his new songs that he was recording. And you just got to watch him, like, do take after take, and he'd fuck up and then start over again. You know what I mean? It was like,
yeah,
that's how it's like, that's why he's that good. You get to see that, you know?
That's cool. Clint does that a lot. He'll go live on Instagram, and sometimes he'll just, people will just kind of like shout out songs and he'll start playing them. But there's other times, I don't know if he's seen this, but like he will play back songs that he's working on and he will, I don't know what you call it. He'll just like, he'll put everything down except for one track. So you'll just hear like the piano,
right,
or the shaker, or the him singing. And it's really interesting to me. I love all that stuff.
Yeah, me too, for sure. It's kind of almost like a song exploder kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, thanks again, Paul. Thanks for writing in, man. Okay, so then we've got a couple. Matt Massey wrote in, and one of the questions he was asking about was some other bands that he was wondering
his big three, as he calls it.
Yeah, his big three are Pearl Jam, Wilco, and My Morning Jacket, which are all very different musically, but I think in a weird way they all have the same vibe for me personally. Now, I know you said you don't listen to Wilco or My Morning Jacket.
Yeah, I'm definitely aware of both bands. Sure. But I don't think I know any Wilco songs. I don't know either of them. I think one of the Pearl Jam DVDs has Eddie doing a Who song with My Morning Jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, I kind of, not embarrassed, but I should, but I don't listen to either of these guys.
Oh, yeah. No, you shouldn't be embarrassed, man. I mean, I'm a much bigger... Well, I know much more and have spent a lot more time with Wilco and their whole body of work than I have My Morning Jacket. I like My Morning Jacket, but I've never gone through like a really intense phase with them. But I mean, as far as Wilco goes, nothing new here. It's I think Summer Teeth and Yankee Hotel Foxtrot are their two my favorite two records. But I fucking love those bands. They all kind of approach from the same way too. You know, Pearl Jam's such a they just get in the room and play together. That's the way they record. Which sounds really simple and obvious, but a lot of bands don't do that anymore. You know? And Wilco and My Morning Jacket are the same in the sense that there's a good chance what you hear on the record, you're gonna hear the same thing live. Because they're just doing the same thing that they did in the record, you know?
Now, is My Morning Jacket kind of a jam band? Do they kind of go like long, extended
solos? They can, yeah, for sure.
Thing? Yeah.
But they're not jam band like, just for people like, listening, not like Widespread or Fish or, you know, I love Fish, but it's not like that. It's really indie kind of vibey.
Yeah, garage rocky kind of thing. I need to start listening to them. Now Wilco they're kind of like country rock, right? Or no?
Oh, they were. That's kind of what they came out of, was that like whole alt country thing in the early late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
But I think they all represent like something really honest. Like all three of those bands, there's no bullshit in their music that's contrived or trying to be cool or any of that shit. Like they all do what they're going to do. Very, very art driven bands, whether you like them or not, you know? So anyway, yeah, I'm with you on those three, man. What would be my big three? Oh, Jesus. I hadn't even thought about that. I mean, I guess obviously two of them are going to be taken up by Pearl Jam and Zeppelin.
Yeah.
I'd have to think about the third spot. Who would go?
Yeah,
there?
I would
That's
too.
Hard.
Mine would probably be Pearl Jam and Metallica, and then, God, that third spot.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, thanks for writing in, Matt. It's a good
question. Thanks, bud.
And then just wanted to mention real quick, as we wrap up emails, that we got this wonderful email. And we've talked about, I mean, you know, Tom Leahy from emails, and I mean, he's interacted with the show for quite some time now. And we got this amazing email from Music Cares, which is part of the Recording Academy, and they do a lot of work helping working musicians get help with substance abuse and depression and mental health in general. And if you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know that I went to treatment for alcohol and depression and anxiety, and the reason I was able to afford it was that I lucked out with the type of health insurance that covered half of the treatment, and the Grammys, Music Cares, literally paid for the rest. So I was able to go to treatment that I could not afford, never could have afforded, because they put in the money. And so Tom has made a donation in honor of the two Brads in Single Podcast Theory to Music Cares. So just want to share that. That's not a, we're not asking for, this is not a advert. This is right. Me talking about, you know, something that I'll use the excuse to talk about Music Cares anytime I can, just because of my personal experience with it. But then to know, you know, Mike is heavily involved with that organization and does so much work with them. And then to have someone that's a listener of this podcast kind of like take it another step further and add to the group of people that are able to and willing to contribute in a real substantive way. So we are very honored, and we thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much, Thomas, because just, you know, I know we goof around and go on tangents, and I mean, we just talk about Pearl Jam, but to know that something I did has my name attached to it just because of this show that we do, it's just really, like, humbling and heartwarming that someone thought enough of us and me to put my name on this. So thank you.
Absolutely. Huge honor. Thanks again, Tom. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Cool. That's a great way to end the email section.
Yeah.
Again, if you'd like to email us, the email is singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. We're on all the socials. And of course, you can visit our Patreon page if you'd like to support us. It's patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. All right. Self-Pollution Radio Part 3, my friends.
Yeah.
You ready?
Let's do
Episode
this.
Episode 89, dude.
Is it 89 or 88?
Last week was 88, I think. God, I hope so. That's how I've been marking them. I'm pretty sure it's
88. Oh. You are correct.
You damn right I am.
I am wrong.
All right.
I said it.
You ready to do this, my friend?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Let's start off by listening to a little bit of our friends having a conversation, Tom Waits and Iggy Pop.
Wow, almost forgot. Listen, I worked with this drummer the other day in LA. And this guy, man, his name's Giant Robo.
Yeah.
And he's clanging and banging and really hard. Yeah. Man, I thought of you. I mean, maybe you'd want to, this is somebody, I think you ought to check him out.
Oh, yeah. You mean, you think I need a professional drummer? Like, I'm not good enough? What are you talking about?
No, but I'm just, you know, it's a musician. I thought, I just want to tell you about this guy. It'd be great, man. I mean, you know, it's like hard and industrial and he's beaten, you know, and I just thought, wow.
Well, you know, what are you trying to tell me?
Forget it, man. Forget it.
That was my friend Tom and Iggy, are my friends.
You know who Tom Waits is. You know who Iggy Pop is, correct? Mm-hmm. Are you very familiar with them, or I mean, you just know who they are, kind of thing?
I'm more familiar with Iggy Pop than Tom Waits, but I'm not super familiar with either one of them. But Iggy Pop definitely.
I love Lust both for of Life. Them.
The what's his band? Stooges.
Stooges, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It's just, I don't know. I know it's like a funny piece or whatever, but I don't know, man. I just think about Tom Waits and Iggy Pop just hanging out together. What a fucking weird thing that would be. In a great way.
Yeah.
Because I love both of their, you know, they've got great brains.
Iggy Pop is one of those dudes that I know more about him just from, like, speaking, like, interviews than I do of his music. Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, that's kind of part of, I don't know if it's intentional, but he's just a big personality.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and he's the type of dude, see, I'm a big fan of Henry Rollins, and I know those two are tight, and he talks about Iggy all the time. And Henry is the same kind of guy where any kind of music documentary, like, you'll see Henry pop up.
Right.
Just he'll do all of those interviews and documentaries. And Iggy Pop is kind of the same way. Like, I see him a lot in, you know, kind of crossing with different documentaries or interviews.
Yeah.
He's one of those dudes. He's always out there, like, talking about himself and music and stuff. So.
Hell yeah. He's I think his personality, his kind of mythos has outgrown the music that he did necessarily. And I don't say that I'm not saying that I agree with that, because I love Stooges and all that kind of shit, but
yeah,
he is larger than life for sure.
And on a personal note, he is like, my wife hates like little short skinny guys. So whenever he's like comes on the TV, I'm like, hey, hon, look. And there's Iggy with his
just
like
all
no
skin
shirt.
And bones.
Yeah. No shirt. He's rolling
now he's old
on
as
stage.
Fuck. Yeah, man.
Yeah. And my wife is like the opposite of metal. She's very like kind of Southern girl down home, just like normal chick. So she does not get it at all.
Right. That's fucking funny. Well, so what do we get next? We get some...
Oh, wait. Can we talk real quick what that's from?
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah.
Have you ever seen this movie, Coffee and Cigarettes?
I don't think
I've
so.
I've never seen it. But I think the whole movie is basically like the two of them talking, and then they go... Like, the movie kind of goes away from them, but it always like comes back to them talking in the coffee
I'll
shop,
have to check
something
it out.
Like that. It's one of those weird indie
it.
Movies,
right?
Okay, then we get Jeff
Ament. We got some three fish.
Yeah, he introduced. He refers to the song called "Jungle Oats," but I think they changed the name of the song to "Solitude" when it came out on the record.
Gotcha. I was a little confused by that. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't know a ton about Three Fish and the material, but
yeah. Well, this—if you go online and look at this single, Self Pollution Radio and like the track listing that people put up, some of them are a little off.
Right.
So
sure. That's yeah.
But yeah,
make
this
sure
song
we get
"Solitude"
our facts
is. Yeah, we try. It was off their first album. And Jeff was in Three Fish. I know you just said you didn't really know who Three Fish is. Did you know?
No. I know who they are. I know Jeff's all that. I just haven't spent a ton of time with their music, is what I was saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, then I love how next is American Music Club, the President's Test for Physical Fitness. This is, for some reason, just reminded me of like a very like almost Dishwalla 90s vibe.
Dude, I wrote this almost the same thing.
Really? What'd you put?
Yeah. I wrote 90s alt-rock type song.
Yeah, it just reminds me of like
yeah.
Lemonheads,
Yeah, kind of poppy, kind of upbeat, poppy, but just a little darker than.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't fit in the same category as like Dishwalla, but it has that same kind of sound, same kind of vocal kind of deal. But that's a cool song, though.
Yeah.
And then we get.
Yeah, I don't mean that. I don't mean that as a put down at all.
Sure, sure, sure. Yeah, yeah. Well, then we get one of my favorite parts is Eddie talking about Dave Grohl and playing the Gas Chamber cover and Exhausted.
Yeah, these demos.
It's cool to hear them talking about it, though. Like, just how I think they say a couple times, because then they end up talking with Kim and Steve Turner jumps into the conversation. I think after they listen to the two songs, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yes.
And how I don't know, man. It seems like in the media there had all been all this like. You know, Kurt and Chris fucking hate Eddie and Pearl Jam, or, you know, all that kind of bullshit. But this whole thing is just like, you know, I think Eddie and Steve both say something to the effect of, you know, Dave started out great and just kept getting better, you know?
Right.
Because Eddie's talking about, like, I think if I heard correctly, which is such common knowledge now, but he was like, Dave played every instrument on all this stuff.
Yeah.
And they were just like, holy shit.
Well, I think I think it was cool, too, to hear. I think Dave was probably apprehensive about releasing anything.
Yeah, because. You know,
post-Nirvana. Yeah.
Because it probably seemed I know he had said that he felt like it might be seen as being opportunist and, like, cashing in on the fact that Nirvana was huge and Kurt died and all that stuff.
And I think at the time, like, he was trying to keep Foo Fighters under wraps, kind of like Ghost.
Right.
Like, he didn't want people to know that Foo Fighters was Dave Grohl.
Right.
You know? And I kind of remember at the time, like, hearing, like, they think this is Dave. Obviously, when you hear him singing, it's like, oh, yeah, that's probably him. But people weren't sure at the time.
Right.
You know? But like you said, it's cool to hear Eddie and these other people talking about their friend that's trying to put out music.
Yeah.
You know?
That's cool.
The Exhausted demo is so distorted.
Yeah, the beginning.
The version. Yeah, I mean, it's... It's almost like a sludgy pop song.
Yeah, it's a lot of fuzzed out guitar.
It sounds pretty cool compared to the. I mean, I love the self-titled Foo Fighters album.
Sure,
but it sounds a lot different to me than that version of it.
Yeah, it's definitely cool hearing those demos, man. He's a fucking monster, but we all know that.
Yeah,
man. Take me back in time a little bit with some Babes in Toyland.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Jesus.
Yeah.
That's some loud vocals.
And that's cool, too, because Eddie is talking about, I think he's talking about, like, being in the back of seat of a car with the top down, listening to that song.
Yeah, he said that it was one of their first getaways.
Yeah.
When they first started touring and were big, they'd gotten away in a car, and he remembers that with the song being played. It's cool. Talking about music connected to memories.
Yeah.
There's another example. But then, obviously, one of the big parts of this kind of section of self-pollution radio is that we get some live motherfucking Soundgarden. Dude, this, I mean, what did you think about this?
It's awesome. I mean, it's cool because, for one, it's like all four of these songs are, like, not singles. I don't even think any of them are album. Well, one of them, what is it? No Attention eventually ends up on an album. But at the time, it didn't. That's from Down on the Upside, which didn't come out for like another year and a half.
Right.
But the other three songs are like, two of them are outtakes, and then Fell on Black Days is a demo. They call it the demo version. It's totally a different song than Fell on Black Days, right. Except for the chorus. He is singing Fell on Black Days, but the lyrics are totally different and the melody's totally different.
Right.
So it's just cool to hear some real, real deep cuts, you know? And they sound fucking phenomenal. Chris, I mean, I always thought Chris was kind of hit or miss live. I've seen some live performances where, you know, he does not sound great.
Sure.
And I hope people don't feel like I'm being an asshole, but...
Everyone's got their off nights,
man. I just got to be honest.
Yeah.
But he sounds phenomenal here.
I 100% agree. Yeah.
And it's, I don't know, it's cool to see Matt. There's a video of this on YouTube. And I'll be honest, it's pretty much almost all Matt. It's from, the camera angle is like straight on Matt.
I'll have to look for that. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool performance. And again, anytime we get to go back and listen to Chris sing some more, but
mm-hmm.
especially, you know, what year is this again?
This is January of 95.
95, Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. Then we get just some more weird shit, man. I love it.
Yeah. Yes.
You got to do the bass tuning tape.
Mm-hmm.
In order to play with this record, you must tune your bass to ours. Since the bass part can also be played on the last four strings of the regular guitar, we will give both the electric bass and the guitar tunings. Starting with the first string on the bass, we will pick each string five times, and each bass string will be followed by the corresponding string on the regular guitar. We will not tune the first two strings on the guitar. Bass, first string. Guitar, third string.
Did you ever listen to anything like this when you were, like, first learning music?
No.
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 It sounds like something you would hear, like, in fourth grade.
Yeah, or, like, in the 60s.
Right.
Or
yeah.
50s.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, it's just super weird.
Can you put it in here, or should we just explain
already did.
What it is? Okay.
Yeah. It's on my list.
I
put a marker down, my friend.
Okay, good. All right, cool.
I love this next one. It's the Frogs.
Yes.
And what's the name of the song? Starboy?
Starboy, yeah.
Executive with his pants down, sitting behind a desk. How bad do you want to be a star, boy? Be a star, boy.
It's so kind of like Leonard Cohen with a shitty chorus pedal on the acoustic. I really like it a lot. It's right up my fucking alley. Now, I don't know, but...
Well, I have, like, the personal connection because they played this when they opened for Pearl Jam in Milwaukee.
All right.
And Eddie came out and sang.
That's killer.
So, but I mean, it's very... The lyrics are very dark. But the song, like, the music is it's kind of weird, but it's kind of upbeat.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And if you read the lyrics, you can totally see why Eddie would be into it.
Oh, for sure.
It's basically a song about, do you want to sell your soul and be a star?
Right.
So, especially at this time of their career.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, you can see why he gravitated towards some of that stuff. Yeah,
totally.
I legit like that song, but, it's like a combo of Nick Drake and Leonard Cohen or something to me. I love it. But, and then we get something that I always loved, which is hearing Eddie and Chris, Novoselic talking to each other.
I was listening to this.
Did you just throw up in your mouth a little bit?
I didn't throw up, but I...
Don't answer that question.
Burped. Yeah. I was listening to this, and this was kind of like what we do. It's just two dudes talking.
Yeah, it is.
About music. I mean, this is kind of like a precursor to... not just us, not Single Podcast Theory, but people that podcast. And it's just a couple dudes sitting around talking. You know, and I, going back to like Instagram Live, it's like this whole thing at the time was like pirate radio, but it's kind of like a precursor to like Facebook Live and Instagram Live and podcasts.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's the funny thing is that if you just take a fucking breath and look at everything, we're doing all the same types of media, I guess, if you want to call it that way. It's just different delivery systems based on technology. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like those... Totally. It's not quite the same. Now, the internet is definitely a game changer. And, you know, some of those memes you see where, you know, you're on the subway, a picture of the inside of a subway car in New York City, and everyone's staring at their phone, and then they take a picture from the same subway in, you know, 1952, and everyone's just staring into a newspaper, you know? I'm not saying that that's a total fair equivalent, but it kind of makes the point. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same kind of shit. It's just because one of the things with digital, in the cloud and internet and all that kind of stuff is just so easy. As we know, we're doing it. Anyone can put content out.
Yeah.
And I think we haven't found our way back from, I like that it's open, but there was also a kind of, weed out process that the old way made, where you did have to have some sort of, not talent, what's the word for it? Like, if you're a comedic actor, you started in something like a Second City, and then you worked your way into, you know, doing more and more stand-up, and in there you get your first SNL audition, and then you don't get it the first time, but then you go back out in the road. You know what I mean? There's, like, this thing that you could, this machine you got on, for better or worse, and now it's just like, fuck it, I got an iPhone and a lot of bad ideas, and I'm just going to fucking put it all out there, because I can, motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, which one are we?
I think we're, you know, I think we're doing something in good faith and positive, and, you know, it's just...
We're living our truth.
What did I tell you, Brad?
I'm sorry.
You made the deal. I get to call you your full name at some point. I'm not doing it right now. But I'm glad you stopped me from my rant.
You know, I was thinking about just like future and like the like futurology, I guess. Like,
okay, that's not a word, but go ahead.
So do you think like in the future, I think like in 30 or 40 years, like there will be like right now it's like 90% normal people walking around like me and you, like wearing clothes. But then there's like 10% of people wearing pajamas. I wonder if that's going to swing the other way.
And people get like really dressed up?
No. Like everyone's going to be in pajamas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just look at, 100 years ago, what we wear right now is considered pajamas. So,
right. Yeah.
That's definitely going.
Oh, God. Just people walking around in like boxers and a wife beater.
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't hope it doesn't.
And that's like normal. That will be the new normal.
I don't know about that, but okay. It could be. Man, we need to get you in some futurist think tanks. You really got your finger on the pulse.
Did I just blow some minds? Yeah.
Glad we indulged that conversation a little bit more. So back to Eddie and Chris.
Yes, they're talking about. One of the things,
he did say something that I'd always felt about Chris early on, and something that I've realized about myself that was really kind of a hard pill to swallow, which is he's talking about not being cynical, and that he's realized that he's a very cynical person. Chris was saying this,
yeah,
and trying to not be that way. And I mean, I knew that I was a naturally skeptical person, like a healthily skeptical person, but man, I'm not kidding. Like, it's been in the last 2 weeks that I realized that at the core, at some point, I got super cynical and jaded about life. And now that I'm trying to go back the other way, I didn't even realize how much that permeated just the way I talked and looked at things. And it sucks, man. But it's cool that I've realized it about myself and I can change it. And it's cool to hear him make the same realization about himself. Cause I always hated how he was so like, he seems just immature and like, fuck everything. And everything's bullshit. And, and it's just like, man, I mean, I'm not that bad outwardly, but I kind of am on the inside.
Yeah.
I'm kind of naturally like, oh, that's a bunch of bullshit. Like, what a cliche or what a, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, man, no, man, sometimes those things are just true. And what's wrong with being positive and happy and vulnerable about things? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely. Yeah,
it's a cool moment to hear.
I try to be like that. Like, don't, you know, like, you know, internet comments are so toxic, you know? And it's like, I try not to go and like, if I don't like something, I try not to go and just like tear it down. I just don't say anything at all. But if it's something I like, I'll fucking like promote it and praise it as much as I can.
Sure. Well, I mean, other than the fact that it sounds like you're murdering your dog in the back.
Yeah. Dharma?
Is that canine Dharma. Okay?
I don't know why she's. I think Susan had to leave for a few minutes.
Just making sure the puppy's okay, man.
Yeah, she's okay.
Okay,
she's a
cool
big baby.
I
can bring her in here.
Well, moving on.
Yes.
So yeah, I thought that was a really cool moment, Eddie and Chris.
Yeah.
And then
it's a fun conversation.
Yeah.
And you could tell it's getting a little later, and they're just kind of joking around,
just shooting the shit.
Yeah.
Well, so then they called Dennis from the Frogs. So we listened to a song from the Frogs. Eddie and Chris talk, and then they call Dennis from the Frogs, and he ends up playing a song called "Johnny, Get Out of My Jidge."
Hey, Johnny made it. Johnny.
Hey.
Which is super weird.
Is it a song?
Yeah. And I don't mean super weird in a bad way. I'm not shitting on it. It's, yeah, it's just like, just a bunch of spoken dialogue sped up and down and
yeah,
just all fucked up.
Yeah. Very odd.
It's cool. But then they get into, I know we've talked about Mr. Willis before on the show, but I don't remember how much. But man, back in the day, I loved me some Wesley Willis.
For the second time, I told the preacher to fuck off. I also told Reverend Henry D. Phillips to suck a male camel's dick. He got so tired of my bullshit. He told one of the deacons to throw me out. He then escorted me to the door. They threw me out of church. They threw me out of church. They threw me out of church. They threw me out of church.
You said you feel bad about listening to him.
I feel...
Which I understand.
Yeah, I don't... I feel... I don't know...
Well, actually, before you say that, let's give people context in case they don't know who Wesley Willis is.
Yeah.
No, I already played some, but... Okay.
Yeah, he's just...
He's a paranoid schizophrenic.
Yes.
He's a homeless person. In Chicago. But... I mean, there's kind of a long mythology, and to be honest with you, I don't know what's true and what's not, because I've heard all kinds of stories about Wesley Willis. I've heard things like he ended up getting on an antipsychotic medication, but then he didn't write that kind of music anymore, so he would purposely take himself off for a couple days at a time and let himself go full schizophrenic and write some more of these crazy songs, and then would go back on his meds. But he, at one point, he was traveling, doing gigs in a tour bus, and he did some work with somebody. But
feel like people, I'm sure there's people that listen to him and think of him as an artist, but I feel like there's probably other people that are only listening to make fun of him because he's got these issues, you know?
Right.
And I don't want to feel like I'm like taking advantage of the guy. Does that make sense?
I've felt the same exact thing.
Because it's kind of like Dave Chappelle, like Chappelle's show. Like, one of the reasons he quit is because it seemed like he was giving racist people an opportunity to laugh at black people.
Right.
Because he would make fun of race in his comedy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Does that make sense, or am I like going way off the rails?
I don't think you're going off the rails. I mean, same. I feel like it's similar principles, but
yeah.
So
I don't know, but I love that Rock and Roll McDonald's. Like, I don't know why. Like, I could sing that. I sing that in my head all the time. I always get the phrasing of that song.
The one that always gets stuck in my head is Alanis Morissette. What does he say? You rock like a something. You rock like a magic kiss. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You really whip a horse's ass.
Right.
Oh, so good.
Yeah, the dude could. Yeah, he could turn a phrase. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and don't get me wrong, I don't like it or listen to it because I thought it was like high art or anything in music.
Right.
It was, for me, it was like fun and kind of like watching a train wreck, which is the part that I kind of felt bad about. But at the same time,
he was making money.
You know what I mean? Like, he was putting, no one stole his stuff and like outed him, you know, like he put the stuff out.
Yeah.
And he toured. He did not, you know what I mean?
It was, it's interesting.
But I get
and
it.
A lot of his music is written on like a,
it's a little like Casio keyboard.
Yeah, Casio keyboard. With
he
like
just changes the key
tunes. Yeah,
Yeah. He's got little buttons for the drum fills that he hits, and yeah. It's just a tiny little keyboard. All right, so we got Wesley Willis, and then we get a phone call with Mike Watt.
I don't hear it ring, though.
Yeah, it's Watt.
Hey, Watt.
How you doing?
Hi, Mike.
It's Eddie.
It's Chris.
And Chris.
Yeah, hey, Eddie.
We got the bass brotherhood going. We should get Lucan in here.
Did you get that 5 words? I told you you were really groggy that night.
Well, no. Swenuel.
It was another interesting conversation because Eddie and Chris obviously look up to Mike because he's a little older than them, you know, and they talk a lot about his album that's coming out, Ball Hog or
right.
Tugboat. So it's just cool to hear them talking about that. And then they play a couple songs off of it.
Yeah, they played, Big Train,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
It's cool here. Again, it's like, there's not... Again, it's like you were saying earlier, it's almost like what we're doing right now. Yeah, they called Mike Watt, but it's not like they did some proper interview or something.
Right.
They just were just kind of shooting the shit and played a song and joking about how Mike was like... They're joking about how he goes to bed really early. And I love that kind of shit.
Yeah.
I know it sounds stupid, but like, oh, that's interesting. That kind of makes sense.
No,
like, this dude goes to bed at 9 o'clock every night.
They just sound like regular dudes.
Yeah.
You know?
It's great. And it's, for me, I think I am so desperate. Talk about realizing things about yourself or your life. I'm so desperate for validation that I'm, an acceptable human being. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That Brad, I just every little thing.
Brad,
that, what?
It's not your fault.
Shut up, dude.
It's not your fault.
I like hearing these people that I quote unquote look up to talking about normal things or weird things or whatever, and it's like, oh, okay, it's just that little bit of like, okay, they're kind of weird too, or they think about weird shit too, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I get out of these conversations a lot of times. It just makes me feel better for some reason.
Well, and you kind of touched on it earlier, but it's cool to hear Eddie and Chris just talking like normal people and like they're friends and there's no tension and there's no Nirvana versus Pearl Jam bullshit.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Well, I mean, well, and because they toured with Mike, right? Like Eddie went out and toured with him at some.
Yes, sir. I saw that show.
That's right. You saw it. That's right.
Yeah.
So that it's just getting to hear the crew shooting the shit over the phone, except for it's on every radio station,
right?
You know.
Oh, and at some point Eddie talked about it was 10:30, and they told the radio stations they were going to be on for 3 hours, but we know they still had another hour of material.
Right.
And I was thinking like, I wonder, I mean, I'm sure like Chicago and Seattle and LA, like just let the thing go. But I wonder if there's some like smaller stations that were like, nope, 3 hours, we're cutting you off and we're going back to, what did Chris say, Dr. Demento?
Right.
Like he said something about they can push Dr. Demento.
Yeah, the programmers need to push Dr. Demento back an hour.
But I was
like,
oh my God, what if you're 16 and Pearl Jam is your thing and they're going to be on the radio and right at 11 o'clock, they just cut it off. You know,
mm-hmm.
That would suck.
Yeah. I'm sure it happened in a lot of places.
Yeah.
I'm sure it happened in most places. I can't remember in Birmingham what happened. I mean, I know, I mean, I was listening to it for sure.
Yeah.
But I can't remember how long it went. That's so long ago. Well, and then we end this episode with Mike Watt's answering machine message from Kathleen Hanna from Bikini Kill. Should we play the whole thing? Should we play the whole thing?
We can, but we probably should talk about give it some context.
Okay, go for it. Yeah.
Without any context, it sounds like holy shit. But like we'll play it here in a minute. But basically, just know that this was a performance piece. It's not as raw as it sounds. She was basically messing with Mike Watt.
And yeah. So here it is, and then we'll kind of talk for a second.
Hello, Mr. Watt. This is Kathleen Hanna returning your phone call about 3:45 on Monday, and it's about that fucking record that you asked me to do something for, and I guess I'm responding to that now because I have a few minutes, and I just wanted to tell you, I have a friend who was raped by, fucked by, whatever you fucking want to call it, a guy who's on your record, gonna be on your record. He's a big rock star. Yeah, and when he was 27 and she was 13, he was a big rock star too. And I don't know if the phrase power imbalance means anything to you, but I'm just not so sure I want to be included in your little white rock boy fucking hall of shame here, you know, and I'm just like, do I really want to be sandwiched in between some of these guys that are just doing the whole, like, big white baby with an ego problem thing? I mean, get over it. It's so boring. It's like, a lot of these guys should just fucking quit music and become lifeguards at, like, Wild Waves or some shit, so that they can just, like, get their fucking, you know, anger management thing going. They can just get their power trips out on the kids. They can just do the whole thing. Maybe they'd be actually saving someone's life. Hey, don't run by the pool. No cutoffs. You know, that's what I hear when I hear some of this, you know, music by a lot of these fucking guys, you know. And I mean, I guess what I'm saying is I'm just too cool to be on your fucking record, you know? It's like, I really don't want to perpetuate or be included in a thing where it's just a bunch of, like, I don't know, just like this new, the music coming out by guys right now in, like, the sort of, like, rock world or alternative rock world or used to be punk world or whatever. It's like the whole I'm a straight, white, middle-class, male, rock star guy, but I'm so fucking oppressed. I'm a loser, baby. Why don't you kill me? Yawn. Like, super fucking yawn. So, yeah, I guess what I'm saying is no, no, no. No, I'm not interested. No, I don't want to be on your fucking record. No. But, Mr. Watt. Dude, babe, sir, you need to get me my fucking Annie soundtrack back, like, soon, because you've had it forever, and I know you haven't even fucking listened to it yet. So just, like, give me a call and tell me when that's going to happen, and I'll talk to you then. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know the context, she sounds like she's just ripping him a new asshole, and she is,
right.
But
yeah.
But then she ends with, like, you. And kind of like this, by the way, motherfucker, you still got my copy of Annie, so give me right. That shit back. You probably haven't even watched it, or whatever it was she said.
Yeah. There was an interview with her, and they asked her about this, and she basically said that she kind of ran into Watt and talked about the record, and she honestly gave him shit about how it's like 100 guys and there's one, maybe one or no women on this thing.
Right.
And he basically said, well, do you want to be on it? It right. kind of sounded like it took her aback. Like she didn't think he was going to offer her the spot to be on it.
Right.
And then she kind of went home and kind of wasn't sure what she wanted to do. And then like recorded this as a way to kind of joke around with him.
All right. I love it. She's like, no, no, no.
Right. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, man, we made it through part 3 of 4.
We did.
Damn. I never thought that when we got to self-pollution, it should have been obvious that it would be a 4-part series.
Right.
But, it's been fun so far. I can't.
Yeah.
Wait for the next one.
Yeah, we've said it before. It's But it's cool going back and re-listening to this stuff and listening a little bit more, I don't know, specific because we're going to be doing this episode.
Well, and it just makes you realize how much time's gone by, too.
Yeah. You know? And, like, I kind of do a little bit of research of, like, well, who's American Music Club? And, like, going back and, like, oh, this was a outtake from Bad Motorfinger. Right. You know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool to really, like, study this shit.
Absolutely. It's good going back to in the context of time. It's like, I don't know, some of these, even bands like that have come up in over this three-part, like L7, I think, was brought up at some point for some reason, and Bikini Kill, and a lot of these like female, just heavy fucking rock bands that were around at that time that I don't still listen to. But going back to our unintentional theme of music marking periods of time, anytime I hear those bands, those chick bands that were just as raunchy and as heavy as all the dudes, I just think of high school. That's that period of time for me. I loved it. I was getting into punk for the first time because of some of these bands, and it's weird to think that when you think about it in that context, though, it doesn't seem like it was that long ago. It seems pretty fresh, but that was the 90s were a long time ago, man.
No.
Single tear. Anyway, thanks for listening, everybody. Appreciate it. What? Do you like my segue?
No, I thought something that I can't say.
Let's move on. We will be back, of course, next week with another topic. Maybe it'll be part four. Maybe it won't. I love teasing it like that when the reality is we have no fucking clue yet.
Yes.
We'll figure it out on Saturday next week.
Saturday exactly. About 11 p.m.
Again, if you'd like to email us, singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. You can reach out to us on the socials. And if you'd like to support, head over to patreon.com, patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Until next week, I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek saying, so say what you want, spit it out loud, and I'll pay no attention.
Hell yeah. Peace.
Later.
I died and you just said that. I died and you watched. I died and you walked by and said, no, I'm dead.
That was hot. Fuck yeah.